بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وأن علمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I'd like to start tonight's class, which is on the fiqh of marriage, inshallah, by a reminder about the importance of learning the fiqh, learning the sharia. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that whoever treads a path seeking the ilm, then Allah will cause his path to Jannah to be easy. So the ulama, the scholars, such as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajr, who's the author of the book Bulugh al-Maram, they went through a great deal of effort to acquire the knowledge and then pass it down to the next generation. And this is how it's been taking place until today, from the Prophet ﷺ to the Sahaba to the Tabi'een, all the way down to today. So this knowledge is a blessing that is only taken from our scholars, inshallah ta'ala. The fiqh of marriage, this commentary that we'll be going over is by the scholar Atiyah Muhammad Salam, a very great scholar from Masjid Nabawi. May Allah have mercy on his soul. And the chapter is the Walima, the wedding feast. And tonight the halaqah will be about the adab, or the manners of drinking. The manners of how to drink. This is a very important subject in the sharia. And if the sharia came to encompass and give us guidance in all affairs of our life, so even something like eating and drinking, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ conveyed to us much beautiful and beneficial knowledge. So let's start with the hadith, inshallah. I'll read it in Arabic in the translation, and then just mention a few points that the scholars, they mention about the hadith. Inshallah, we'll keep it short for today, inshallah. وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا شرب أحدكم فلا يتنفس في الإناء. متفق عليه. ولأبي داود عن ابن عباس نحو وزاد أو ينفخ فيه. So this hadith is narrated by Abi Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, who's one of the Sahabi. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you drinks from a container, let him not breathe in the container. And in another narration, he said, let him not blow in the container. And we read in some narrations of the hadith, the Sahaba, they said, what if there's some dirt in the container, some dirt in the cup? Should he not blow on it? So then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, no. Pour out whatever is dirt in it, and then drink it. So this hadith is from the adab. It teaches the manners of how to drink. The manners of how to drink. And we find in the chapter of Walima, there's manners of how to eat, eating with the right hand, saying the name of Allah. Likewise, there are manners on how to drink. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you drinks in a container, let him not breathe in the container. So what does this mean? When we're taking a person is drinking from the cup, taking the liquid, he should not breathe out or exhale the air from his lungs into the container or the cup that has the fluid in it. Should not breathe into the cup that he's drinking from. Another narration also says that the Sahabi said he's not done drinking and he needs to take a breath. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, put the cup away, then take his breath or breathe, and then take it back and finish his drinking. So all of these narrations, they indicate not blowing or breathing while taking one's drink from the container. So what is the wisdom? What is the hikmah behind this teaching of the Prophet ﷺ? Is it some religious reason? Is there something to do with akhlaq? Or is there some hidden medical benefit or reason for it? There are two schools amongst the commentators on this hadith. There's commentators who say that there is a strong medical reason for it. These are the physicians. The physicians, they said that this hadith is related to the germs and bacteria that a person carries in his breath, in his lungs, especially things like typhoid. The illness, the germs, the disease is spread through the air. And we know that the saliva and the air is not najis, it's not impure. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying don't breathe in it, it's not so that it makes it najis. The physicians say that's not the reason. The reason is another reason, because of the illnesses that are carried in the breath. And as you know, in the old days, would everybody have their own cup when they drank? In the old days? How did they used to do it? Can anybody mention? They would have one cup, right? One container, one bowl of milk. They would give it to the elder or the scholar or the leader. He would drink it and then he would pass it on. So everybody else afterwards would also be drinking from the same container. So it's not just that he's breathing in the container for himself, but then if he breathes in it and he puts the germs, the airborne bacteria in it, everybody else who drinks from it, they could be harmed by it. They could be harmed by it. So this is one matter. But then there's a question, or there's an issue that some scholars, they said, if the person is sick, if he's sick, then he'll know not to drink from it. He'll be ill and other people will know this person is sick, so he'll have his own cup or his own container. The ulama said there's another wisdom here, that some people, they're sick or they have illness but they don't even know it. They have the bacteria or the virus, but due to the strength of their immune system, they don't get sick. But the same germs, if it goes in the container to a young person or a weak person, somebody whose immune system is not strong, what will happen to him? Get sick right away. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't differentiate and say, if one of you is sick, don't breathe in the container. Somebody might be a carrier for the illness, but he doesn't know it. So there's a difference between a person being sick and being a carrier of an illness. The carrier of an illness, he doesn't know he's sick, but he has the bacteria. And one of the scholars, he mentioned that some people, they inherit diseases from 3-4 generations, father, grandfather. They have that disease, but it doesn't show in them. But then maybe one of their children, he has that illness or that disease. So this is one of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, and the physicians, they said, don't breathe in it because it will spread the disease. But then you have another response from some people who say, didn't the Prophet ﷺ teach that la adwa? La adwa. There's a very famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, there is no such thing as contagion, the spreading of disease. La adwa. So what is the meaning of this hadith? La adwa. There's no contagion. Everybody knows what contagion means. Like if somebody sneezes and the illness, measles or any other disease, spreads to somebody else. What does the Prophet ﷺ mean by this hadith? First of all, a very important rule is that we never take a ruling from one hadith, a single hadith. We always have to look at all of the texts together. And this is the job of the scholars. They don't rush to make a hukum or a ruling from one single hadith. They look at all of the texts on the issue and come to a complete and correct interpretation of the hadith. So we look in the sunnah, and the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if you speak to a leper, everybody knows what leprosy is. It was, alhamdulillah, is not as much as it was before. It's a skin disease that spreads very rapidly. Baras. Now, so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if you speak to a leper, keep a far away distance from him. Don't come close to him. And even some narrations, he said, don't stare at the leper too long. Maybe if you're staring too long, you might get breathe some air from him. And other narrations, the Prophet ﷺ, a leper came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he wanted to give bay'ah. So when he came close to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, stay where you are. I took your bay'ah. I already took your beya. You don't have to come and shake my hand. Khalas, laqad baya tuka. I took your beya. So he kept a distance from the people that were sick. And of course the famous hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, flee from the leper like you flee from a lion. So the Prophet ﷺ, in other narrations, he was warning us to stay away from people who have sickness and illness. So when we look at those narrations, and we have the hadith, la adwa, there is no contagion. How do we understand the hadith? Some of the ulama, they said, what is meant is there is no contagion, is a rejection of the idea that they had in Jahiliyyah. Before Islam, the period of Jahiliyyah, people thought that the illness, it had an independent power or a will, and it could go to any person and afflict any person through its own will, without Allah's control or Allah's permission. So when the Prophet ﷺ said la adwa, he was saying that the illnesses do not spread except by Allah's permission. It cannot automatically spread unless Allah gives it permission. And one of the Bedouins, he came to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ saw there was a camel that was sick, an ill camel. So he was sick. So the Bedouin said, the Prophet ﷺ asked the Bedouin, how did he become sick? He said, from the other camel. So he said, how did that camel become sick? From the other one. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, how did the first one become sick? The first one, where did he get the illness from? Where did he get it from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's Allah who causes the illness, not the other camels. It was Allah who caused the illness to spread. So the ulama, they mentioned that the illness, it doesn't spread except by the permission of Allah. And how do we understand this in light of what we said, that we know that bacteria spreads, we know that germs, they spread to other people. The way we understand that the illness cannot spread except by Allah's permission is that on the physical sense, yes, the germs and the viruses pass from one person to another, on a physical sense. But if that person has a strong immune system, will the disease afflict him? It will not affect him. If he's weak, it will go and afflict him. So we see some people who are around a lot of ill people, they never get sick. And some people, they're home, they stay away from everybody, they get sick all the time. So it's Allah's way He created individuals. He created some people with a strong immune system, He created some people with a weak immune system. So the spreading of the diseases, the viruses, is a medical fact. There's no denying that. But who does the disease overcome and make sick, and who does the disease not have any effect on? That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma adwa, meaning that nothing can make a person ill except by Allah's permission, meaning the way He created a person, the strength of his immune system. So this is one angle of the hadith from the physicians, what the physicians have said about it. One other angle, inshallah, I don't want to keep everybody too long, is what the fuqaha have said. Fuqaha are those, the scholars of hadith who analyze the text in terms of sharia. And the fuqaha, they said that the hadith, the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, don't breathe in the container, the purpose of that is because of good akhlaq, good character. Because the person, when he's breathing, there's valves, there's a muscle in the throat that channels the air and the fluid and the food. Just like in the heart, we have different chambers, we have ventricles, we have valves. So the same way, in the throat, you have a valve that causes the air to go in one direction and the food to go in a different direction. So the scholars, they said that if a person happens to breathe while he's drinking, then the fluid could go down into his lungs, and he might start coughing. And through this coughing, he might regurgitate something into the water or into the drink. And this would be very bad akhlaq. Because then whoever you give the container afterwards, it would have the person spitting in it or his saliva in it. So this is, they say, it's from the angle of good akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us how to have good akhlaq with one another. Also, some other of the adab that we learn from the Prophet ﷺ is that if a cup has a crack in it, when we're drinking, if there's a crack on the edge of the cup, the Prophet ﷺ taught us not to drink from it. And what is the wisdom behind that? The ulama, they give two wisdoms for that. One, they say that those cracks and fissures might have bacteria in them. When a person washes a cup, some food or something remains in those cracks on the cup, and so it might be dirty, it might have bacteria that will make the person sick. And the other wisdom, they said, is that when we drink from a cup, the top edge, is it smooth or is it sharp? It's very smooth, so it doesn't cut the lip or cut the tongue. If there's a crack in it, somebody happens to drink from that, it might cut their lip or cut them, so it could harm them. So this is one of the teachings, that we should not drink from the cup that has the crack in it. Also, sometimes they have a crack. In the old days, what they used to do, if you have a metal cup or even a porcelain cup, they would put some gold or silver on those edges to seal the crack. And this also, the scholar said, one should not drink from that edge that has the gold or the silver in it. They should avoid it. In fact, we'll talk about, it's forbidden to drink from gold and silver utensils. One more adab of drinking is that when you bring the cup, or when people drink from a single cup, it should be given to the leader of the people, or the sheikh of the people, or the head of the city, and then he should pass it to his right. Always the food and the drink, if somebody's serving it, they should begin on the right and pass it to the right, not on the left. And there's a famous hadith, a very nice hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he was sitting down and Abu Bakr was sitting on his left, and Ibn Abbas, who's a young boy, was sitting on his right. So when they brought a cup or a bowl to the Prophet ﷺ, and so he asked permission from Ibn Abbas. He said, "Ibn Abbas, can I give this bowl to Abu Bakr? He's a sheikh. Can I give it to the sheikh?" Ibn Abbas, he said, "La wallahi, la athiru ahadan alik. I would never prefer anybody to get the leftover drink of yours." He wanted to drink the same place where the Prophet ﷺ drank. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gave it to Ibn Abbas. That's so one should begin on the right. Another hadith, that there was a Bedouin sitting on the right of the Prophet ﷺ, Bedouin man, and on the left was Umar. On the left was Umar. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was going to give the drink to the Bedouin. Umar, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, give it to Abu Bakr. He's the oldest, he's the most knowledgeable. Give it to Abu Bakr." The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "La wallahi, I'm going to give it to the Bedouin." So the Bedouin, he was on the right, he had more right. So this is from the adab of eating, of drinking. And finally, the last lesson for today, inshallah, is that drinking from gold and silver, is it allowed? Somebody has a gold cup or gold spoons and forks. The Prophet ﷺ, he strongly forbade that. He said, whoever drinks from a gold utensil, he is gurgling or swallowing fire into his belly. It's a very, very strong prohibition. So it's not allowed to drink from cups that are made of gold or silver, or to use them as utensils. This has been forbidden, and we talked about the wisdom of that in some previous lessons. So in this hadith, do not breathe into the container, we see the two views of the ulama. One is to avoid spreading the disease so that other people don't get afflicted. The other is from being good akhlaq, so a person doesn't choke and harm the bowl for other people. And we also learn some of the adab and manners of drinking, inshallah. So may Allah give us knowledge that benefits us, inshallah ta'ala, wa jazakum Allah khayr. And this will be the end of this chapter on Ghulima. We'll begin, maybe we'll talk about a new chapter next time, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. If there's any questions, you're welcome to ask, inshallah ta'ala. Question is a door of knowledge. I think the kids that are playing back there, you must have some questions, huh? Mashallah. It's good for the kids to sit in front so then they can learn more, inshallah. في أي سؤال يستطلب؟
Did you have a hadith or you just say you can go and visit the one who is sick? And there is a hadith that you mentioned that you can go close to him. So how
do you combine? No. Visiting the sick, of course, is one of the greatest sunnahs, one of the big sunnahs, and many, many hadith mention the virtue of visiting the sick. There's a hadith, when you speak to the leper, keep a distance from you. The leper specifically, not every sick person, but just the leper, the one with the skin disease. Not everybody who's sick might, the leprosy is a very, very contagious disease. But if somebody who's sick and we go and visit them, and there's no harm in speaking to them and coming nearby, and just as long as one avoids whatever they would normally avoid of that would cause the disease to spread. But if they have an illness that that is not as contagious, there's no harm in visiting them. But the wisdom is that if there's something that's very contagious, Islam taught long ago to take the means or the precautions. This is not something some people think, I'll trust in Allah and not take any precautions. This is not from the teaching of Islam. The teaching of Islam, we do take the precaution to prevent the spread of illness, but who will that illness affect and who will it overcome it due to the strength of his immune system? That is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But up to us is just to take the normal precautions to avoid spreading the illness. Jazakallah khairan. Yes, brother.
If someone has a cold,
yes.
Or like
the
flu, are we allowed to shake hands?
Oh, no. Having the cold or the flu, see, subhanAllah, the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, before you eat, he said there's a hadith, قَبْلَ الطَّعَامُ وَبَعْدَ الطَّعَامُ wudu. And here wudu, before the food and after the food is wudu, which the scholars say here it means a linguistic meaning, which is washing the hands. So we follow the adab that the Prophet ﷺ taught, you know, washing the hands, making wudu, etc. Then inshallah that won't harm a person. So shaking a person's hand will not afflict you, but if a person, they eat something or they put it in their mouth, then it might affect them. So it's from the sunnah to shake people's hands, and if you see somebody sneezing and you don't want to shake their hand, it might hurt his feelings. You know? So Allahu A'lam, and there's no... The general sunnah is there that we should shake hands with one another. If there's any fear that a person might get sick, then they can wash their hands afterwards, inshallah. I think that would be what is best, inshallah. Allahu A'lam. Yes,
Shaykh.
Yes, sir.
I know that you
have
a
lot of
it's not good to walk.
Yes.
But I never heard, like, the confession to everybody. I know it's not good to go, but what if you drink it by yourself? Only drinking...
Okay, good. Good question. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, don't breathe in the container. And then the ulama, they looked at the wisdoms behind it. So the brother's saying, now if you're drinking in your own cup, if your own container, then is there a prohibition from doing that? Allahu alam, you know, the adab of the Prophet ﷺ, we might know the wisdoms, we look at some of the wisdoms, but we submit first and foremost, and then we look for the wisdoms afterwards. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't blow in the container when you're eating from it, when you're drinking from it. If we look at the group of ulama that said that you might choke when you're breathing and you're drinking and you take a breath, so that's for our own health benefit as well. So even if we're not sharing the cup, that would be the what the scholars, the physicians, they said. But from the other angle, that as good akhlaq, we shouldn't breathe in the container because it might cause some food to go down the wrong pipe, then it would still be wise and to avoid that. It would still be recommended to avoid that. But always, whenever we, an important principle is, whenever we learn about the Islamic laws, we submit first. You know, the Sahaba, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We submit first, but then does it leave no room for looking for wisdom? No, we can still look for wisdom. We look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Oh Allah, show me how you give life to the dead. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of the prophets. He's asking Allah, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah says, don't you believe? أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. He said, بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Yes, but so that my heart will be at ease. So my heart will be firm. So we submit to the Islamic laws, but then when we learn the wisdom, it increases our iman. It increases our yaqeen that this is a deen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is wahi from Jibreel alayhi salam, from Allah ta'ala. It's not the words of any human being. So we can learn, we submit first, but then when we see the wisdoms, inshallah, we'll increase our iman, our faith, that this perfection of the revelation that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good question. MashaAllah. Yes, any other questions? Inshallah. Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for all of you. May Allah accept from all of us and give us goodness in this world and the next. Increase us much in knowledge. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.